Welcome home, Evie. Welcome home to your daddy's loving arms. You'll never leave here again.
And suddenly a tangle field enveloped Evangeline, shimmering in the air around her. The energy field covered her completely, slowing all her movements to a crawl and preventing her from leaving the halo. She clenched her hands into fists and her breathing increased, but that was all the reaction the tangle field allowed.
You never did have any sense of honor, Gregor.
Please, call me Daddy. We're going to play a little game, Evie. Just like we used to. Take your clothes off. Slowly. Not that you've got much choice, of course.
Evangeline glared at him, making no move to obey. Gregor glared back at her, his eyes burning with unrestrained malice. He heaved himself awkwardly off the bed, breathing heavily as he forced his great bulk onto his feet. He waddled forward, finally lurching to a halt just short of the Tanglefield's boundary. He was smiling, his fat lips wet, his eyes dark and unblinking.
You do as you're told, little Evie, or I'll find something heavy and smash the glass jar holding your dear friend, Penny. And you can watch her flop on my carpet and gasp and die like a landed fish without the preservative fluids to sustain her.
Don't listen to him. He wouldn't really do it.
Yes, he would. He's done worse before now. Haven't you, Daddy?
And she started taking off her jacket. It was a simple black affair that Finley had given her, with just a few buttons and fasteners. Gregor's eyes lingered over each one as her Tanglefield-slowed fingers undid them. Underneath, she wore a simple sky-blue dress. She undid the clasp at the back of her neck and let the silk dress slip slowly down the length of her body. The energy field turned its slow descent into a tease. Underneath the dress, she wore only delicate white panties. Evangeline stood still and let Gregor look at her. She wanted to look away from him, but wouldn't let herself. It was important that she didn't avert her eyes or lower her gaze. Gregor eyed her up and down several times, licking his lips. Once he reached out as though to touch her, but withdrew his hand before it could enter the tangle field. He met her eyes and gestured at the panties.
Those. Take them off. Take them off.
You do it. You do it, Daddy. Like you used to.
Gregor licked his fat lips again, his deep-set eyes fixed on the white panties, and moved forward a step. Evangeline let her right hand fall to the top of her panties. Gregor's outstretched hand entered the tangle field. Evangeline's fingers dipped slowly inside the panties. Gregor crossed the border of the tangle field. His movements slowed to a crawl. Evangeline's fingers grasped the hilt of the tiny concealed knife inside her and pulled it out. Her finger hit the stud on the hilt, and the monofilament blade crackled into life. All their movements crashed back to normal. Evangeline lashed out with the glowing blade and sliced up the right side of Gregor's face, cutting the fat flesh open from chin to forehead. The right eye exploded in a rain of blood and other fluids. Blood pumped thickly between his fingers. Evangeline lunged after him, grabbed him by the fat shoulders, and set the glowing knife blade next to his throat. Gregor froze where he was. Evangeline leaned over him. She'd known the guards would confiscate anything she brought with her, whether it looked like a weapon or not, before letting her anywhere near Gregor. But she'd gambled that they wouldn't do a full invasive body search for fear of offending Gregor. So she hid the unactivated hilt in the one place the guards wouldn't dare probe, and practiced walking in front of a mirror till she could do it without wincing. Finley had gotten her the monofilament knife. He hadn't asked any questions. It seemed a perfectly normal thing to him that somebody would want such a useful weapon, particularly now that they were officially banned. Gregor whimpered with pain and shock as blood poured down his face and soaked his clothes. Evangeline smiled savagely.
Stay where you are, Gregor. You even try to get up or call out and I'll gut you.
She let go of him and backed cautiously away, ready to kill him if she had to. But all the fight had gone out of him with the loss of his eye. Evangeline grabbed one of the sheets from the bed and wrapped up Penny's and Wax's jars in it before slinging the improvised bag over her shoulders. She heard the two glass jars bang together and hope they were tougher than they looked. They were probably in for a rough ride. Unhooked from their speakers, the heads had no way of telling her what was happening to them. Evangeline moved quickly back to Gregor, and he shrank away from the knife buzzing in her hand. She grabbed him by one shoulder, her fingers sinking deep into the thick flesh, and set the blade next to his throat again.
All right, Gregor. We're leaving now. All of us. Get up! Get up, or I swear I'll kill you right here!
Gregor heard the iron in her voice and knew that she meant it. He heaved his massive bulk to his feet, moving very carefully so as not to even nudge against the flickering strand. Evangeline got him moving, and they headed slowly towards the door, the only way out of the Shrek's private little torture chamber.
Open!
It opened to Gregor's voice, and in a moment they were out in the corridor. The guard outside turned sharply, caught unawares, and started to raise his gun.
Stop! You bloody idiot!
Drop your gun and back away!
The guard did so, reluctantly, and gestured to the other guards in the corridor to lower their weapons and stay where they were. Gregor and Evangeline moved slowly towards the elevator. Gregor was already out of breath and beginning to tire from the effort of carrying his great weight, but his fear of Evangeline kept him moving. They came to the elevator doors, and Gregor hit the call button. Evangeline was breathing hard herself now. She glared quickly about her at the watching guards. Guards or beetles or demons, they couldn't stop her now, as long as she kept her nerve. The elevator seemed to take forever to arrive, but finally the doors opened, and she backed Gregor in, never taking her eyes off the guards. They disappeared behind the closing doors, and Evangeline hit the lobby button so hard she nearly broke it. The ride down lasted centuries for Evangeline, as though they were plunging into the heart of the planet. Gregor kept one hand pressed to his ruined face, as though trying to hide what had been done to it. Blood was still running between his fingers and trickling down his arm. The sight of it comforted Evangeline. Gregor kept trying to talk to her, but she shut him up by moving the knife blade a little closer to his throat. By the time the elevator finally reached the lobby, blood ran freely from several cuts on Gregor's neck. The elevator doors opened on a whole army of guards filling the lobby, their guns trained on the group within. The guards on the penthouse floor had raised the alarm. Evangeline let them get a good look at their blood-soaked master and the glowing blade at his throat.
Get the hell out of my way or I'll start cutting chunks off him till you do!
Do what she says, you fools! Look what she's done to me!
The guards lowered their guns and moved off, opening up an aisle between the elevator and the main entrance door on the other side of the lobby.
Do you think I'm stupid? Drop your guns on the floor, all of you, and get away from them! Right away!
The guards looked at Gregor, and then reluctantly acquiesced. Evangeline glared suspiciously about her. There were probably all kinds of hidden weapons here, on the guards and maybe in the lobby walls, but as long as her knife was at Gregor's throat, they wouldn't dare try anything. She pushed Gregor out of the elevator and got him moving as fast as he could. She felt very exposed, very vulnerable. This was the most dangerous part of her plan. Her gravity sled was parked near the tower. All she had to do was get to it, and she'd be off and gone before anyone could catch her. But she still had to get to it, past an army of guards who would quite rightly be in danger of their lives if they let her get away with this. She urged Gregor on, mercilessly forcing the pace as he gasped and heaved for breath, peering constantly about her for any guard stupid enough to try to be a hero. The main door came slowly closer. She hadn't remembered the lobby being this big. The guards watched, unmoving, but for the slow turning of their beetle heads. The heads in their jars bumped against Evangeline's bare back. Her nudity didn't bother her. All that mattered was getting out alive. At last they came to the main door, which opened at Gregor's approach. Evangeline could see daylight, hear everyday city noises. It was like another world, so near, so close. She carefully maneuvered herself and Gregor around so that they had their backs to the door, facing the guards. She could feel the tension building in them. She had to get out soon before somebody cracked. Then all she had to do was get to the sled, stab Gregor through his black diseased heart, and it would all be over. Piece of cake. Evangeline dared to hope that just maybe she might pull this off after all. She fought to keep her voice from shaking as sweat rolled down her face.
All right, Gregor. We're going for a little walk now.
Outside?
Gregor seemed to recognize where he was for the first time, and panic shot through him.
No, not outside. Not out of my tower! No!
And with a burst of strength fueled by manic fear, he threw off her hold, ducked away from the knife at his throat, and stumbled towards the safety of his guards, who dove as one for their guns. Evangeline considered throwing her knife at Gregor's fat back, decided she didn't have time, and bolted through the open main door. She sprinted across to where she'd parked the gravity sled, her bare back crawling in anticipation of the disruptor beam she'd probably never even have time to feel.
Take her alive!
Evangeline's heart jumped. She was in with a chance after all. She forced herself to run faster, bare feet pounding painfully on the harsh ground, the glass jars hammering against her back, the cool air rushing past her bare skin. People around stopped to look at her. No one felt like interfering, which was just as well. Evangeline had already decided quite coldly to cut down anyone who got between her and her freedom. She'd gone through too much to be stopped now. Maybe there was some Shrek in her after all. She could see the gravity sled now, still where she'd parked it, not too far away. She was beyond pain or fatigue, buoyed up by hope. And then the sled was suddenly right there in front of her, and she skidded to a halt, stopping just short of slamming into its side. She dumped the heads in their sheet in the back of the sled, remembering just in time how fragile they were, and only then heard the running footsteps behind her. Reason said they had to have been there for some time, but she'd been too busy with her own desperate thoughts to hear them. She spun around, knife in hand. Three armored guards were almost upon her. More were coming behind them. Their heavy armor had slowed them down, but fear of what Gregor would do to them drove them on. Evangeline's mouth widened into a death's head grin she'd learned from Finley, and went to meet the first three guards with her monofilament knife at the ready. She had an advantage. They were under orders not to kill her. She had no such encumbrance. There were enough of them that they were bound to bring her down eventually, but they all knew a hell of a lot of them would die doing it. And no bonuses or threats were worth that. They hesitated, and as they did, Evangeline clambered aboard her gravity sled and took off, leaving them all behind. No one even shot at her. She laughed shakily, not daring to relax just yet, but finally starting to hope the worst was over. She hadn't been sure she could bring it off, any of it. She'd planned it as best she could, but deep down she'd still thought of herself as the helpless victim, never really believing she could defeat Gregor. She'd gone because she'd had to rescue her friend, and because she was tired of being afraid. But she'd done it. She was shaking from head to toe now, as delayed reaction set in. She remembered fighting the guards, and smiled disbelievingly. She hadn't known she had it in her to fight like that. The Underground had trained her, as it trained all its agents, but she'd never had much occasion to use any of her training. Presumably her time with Finley had affected her more than she realized. Finley. She was going home to Finley now, and he'd be so proud of her. He'd take her in his arms and hold her tight, and the long nightmare of her past life would finally be over. It seemed to her that she'd forgotten something, something important, but she didn't care. The worst was over, and she was going home. Nothing mattered except being safe at home with Finley and her friend Penny and her friend Wax. Maybe they'd have a party when she got back. And then, maybe she'd sleep for a week. Or two.